The person whom you're trying to reach is currently...
actually work? All right. Hey, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. We're having fun with technology. Technology is always an interesting thing, isn't it? Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, March 29th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild ride, indeed. Where to begin? I suppose the beginning. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. How about... Women's History Month. Maybe we could start there. Everybody has their list, and so there are several lists that have been circulated. You know, you've seen lists. The Daily Signal had its list, one of the lists that was published that I saw that was kind of interesting. 25 of the most influential women in America. There are some good names. I would agree with some of those. Louisa May Alcott, Susan B. Anthony, Clara Barton, Nellie Bly, Amelia Earhart, Jesse Benton Fremont, Marguerite Higgins, Grace Hopper, Julia Ward, Harriet Jacobs, Barbara Jordan, Coretta Scott King, Claire Booth Luce, Dolly Madison, Sandra Day O'Connor, Rosa Parks, Sally Ride, Sacagawea, Phyllis Schlafly. Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. But Muriel Siebert, Margaret Chase Smith, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Mercy Otis Warren. Those are some good names, but you know, those are kind of I guess I would say that's kind of an easy list because, you know, kind of a vogue list, if you will. I would probably if I was to make a list, I think my list, here's a top 10 list with maybe an honorable mention as a the women of history that should get mentioned that don't. How about this list? I'd probably start with Nesta Webster. Not for any particular reason, but probably just kind of emblematic of women that are forgotten by history and shouldn't be. She's not the only one. Nesta Webster, Dorothy Thompson. And if you mention Dorothy Thompson these days, you got to mention Alison Weir, probably. Dorothy Thompson, one of the greatest journalists of the 20th century that has been unpersoned. Alison Weir points that out and why. Does a good job of that. Vanessa Beely, probably. Eva Bartlett. You know, they're, I think, pretty courageous, heroic efforts that are pretty selfless, you know. Eva Bartlett's efforts to crowdfund her ability to just go see what's really going on, boots on the ground. Daphne Caruana Galizia, probably, you know, Panama Papers. I think that History wants to forget her. Well, some people want us to forget her and what she gave her life for, I believe, trying to reveal to the world. It's kind of interesting. I would probably add, I think Shirley Chisholm should go on that list. I think Mae Brussel should go on that list. These are all, you know, I can't believe that Shirley Chisholm isn't on the popular, you know, top 25 lists more often. But Charlotte Isherby, of course, would have to be on that list. You know, a woman who came from pedigree and decided to break ranks, so to speak, and show the world what's really going on. I mean, she, you know, she didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to break ranks. And yet she has dedicated the latter portion of her life to trying to help folks understand how they've been bought and sold, they and their posterity. I think Princess Diana should go on that list. Another curious omission these days, you know, someone like Princess Diana and Shirley Chisholm, you would think would make it on the list, so to speak, of most lists. You know, but we can't have moderate voices that would unite folks, which again, you know, we have Martin Luther King Day, but we're encouraged to remember some things and then fight about others while we're sort of encouraged to forget other things. I would probably even include, you know, someone like Melissa Dykes as at least sort of emblematic of women who are, I think, trying to do their level best to inform the discretion of their fellow Americans and everyone else to try to cut through the lies and deception. So, you know, just encouraging right thinking and righteousness and honor and virtue, that kind of thing. Anyway, that would be my list. You know, speaking of that list and speaking of Shirley Chisholm, she had some provocative things to say. You know, some of her interesting quotes, a couple maybe. This, I think, sort of fits with the kind of discussion that we're on these days. She said, "You don't make progress by standing on the sidelines whimpering and complaining. You make progress by implementing ideas." And that is a provocative observation. I also think maybe this lends itself to our discussion as well. The sort of, you know, the death cult ideology, eliminationism discussion, basically. She said, in the end, anti-black, anti-female, and all forms of discrimination are equivalent to the same thing, anti-humanism. And really, that's kind of the root that underlies the egalitarian nonsense, but, you know, that's a longer discussion. Weaponizing all things, using all things against people, you know, calling it something that appeals to the conscience and yet has the seeds of destruction within it. She also said when morality comes up against profit, it's seldom that profit loses. And last but not least, I would add, she said, at present, our country needs women's idealism and determination, perhaps more in politics than anywhere else. And I would kind of echo that sentiment, which is sort of why I say, you know, I would add someone like Melissa Dykes as at least, you know, sort of emblematic of what Shirley Chisholm said. So back to, you don't make progress by standing on the sidelines, whimpering and complaining. You make progress by implementing ideas. To Renee's point last Friday about not doing anything, you know, there is a validity to that statement, as much as I would want to rebut it or, you know, counter it. There is some validity to that if we're, you know, if we're just preaching to the choir. I mean, as this broadcast airs, what impact am I, are we really having? You know, I'm not influencing policymakers, and, or am I? And so, you know, this is this sort of, you know, a closed discussion. How much are we informing the discretion of our fellow men? It's interesting, you know, when you start to think about it. I mean, I have been very serious over the last several months, going back to before January when I said, you know, does it matter? Does it make a difference? And I've been very serious. You know, when you start to think through what's going on and how you can effect change in a positive way, that's an interesting discussion, because if you're trying to force change on society, your fellow men, then what makes you different than the tyrant? You may be a kinder, gentler tyrant, but are you a tyrant nonetheless? So, you know, what do you do with that? You know, that's the libertarian dilemma, if you will, as I think some people would put it or have put it. So, you know, it's a tough, I think it's kind of a head scratcher personally. What do you think? I have mentioned John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles as a sort of Rosetta Stone to the American Revolution. And the point there, again, is to get back to a foundation, a common foundation, because, you know, without that, it's just calamity. You know, the balkanization of our society. And it's interesting, you know, the point about the Rosetta Stone observation, I guess, is a pretty simple, self-evident point. You know, we don't have that common ground. And it's interesting, you know, again, I mean, the glaring omissions in our society. Many folks have talked about how we are very weak and anemic on subject matter we should be well versed on, our founding documents. What does it mean to be American? What does it really mean? You know, Joe Piscopo was on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto the other day. Maybe that was yesterday. And Joe said, hey, we're all Americans, you know. At the end of the day, we're all Americans. Exactly. But what does that mean? Because there are some radically different ideas, to the extreme, I would say, to the point of treason. There are some treasonous discussions happening. So what does it really mean to be American? And why aren't we having those discussions? Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You know, our ignorance, our apathy, our indolence have obviously been engineered, but definitely conspire against us now. And you have all of these biases, you know, cognitive bias, normalcy bias, suspension of disbelief, those kinds of things that conspire against the citizen. Suspension of disbelief is an interesting one in this case, because we're at a point where we'll believe anything. You know, the kind of exchange that William in Montana and I had the other day about, you know, I was talking about all of these high profile mass casualty incidents that we've seen in recent years, and there's never a motive. And like William said, well, you know, that means that everyone's a suspect. You never know. Someone might just snap at any moment and, you know, Durka Durka, you know, Team America kind of thing. which is ridiculous. That's not real. But because of suspension of disbelief, we think, well, you know, okay, so some guy just sends packages to a bunch of government and military installations for some guy living in Everett, Washington, for no reason, with a bunch of weird notes and some residue. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You know, wasn't like there were threats. To my knowledge, there wasn't anything that it was just very weird. It was very odd, apparently. And so, I mean, I haven't dug into that, but, you know, some guy in Everett just sent some packages, a dozen or so, a few more, to five installations. Oh, well, that's normal because, you know, for no apparent reason. Or some guy, the other story that I saw? A driver tries running over soldiers in France. Yeah, that's normal. Why not? You know, stuff like that. This is not normal, suspension of disbelief would have folks believing stuff like this. And so, you know, how do you, and we're, you know, the mental anemia, really the lack of iron in our mental diet, so to speak. You know, iron sharpens iron. How does this happen? You know, when you start thinking about, again, the fact that what common ground is there as an American, what does that mean? And we're getting so divided, so far apart, you know. Edward Bernays says that we should be propagandized to live in a democratic society, in contravention to what Jefferson said, that we should inform their discretion, that we should have a common basis of informed discretion, knowledge. And as we grow, hopefully wisdom. So how do you hijack all of that and steal that basically from people? You know, I was going to open up today's broadcast and say Road Warrior Radio, where we talk about politics, money, politics, religion, etc. You know, all the things that you can't talk about. I joke about that sometimes. But if you want to silence all opposition, what better way than to, you know, vilify that sort of, oh, we don't talk about money, politics, and religion. Oh, my goodness. You want to start a fight? You want to get somebody shot? Start talking about money, politics, and religion. And so now that means we can't talk about the Federal Reserve, the IRS, the Social Security Administration, the administrative state in the broader sense, technocracy, scientism, which is the state-sanctioned religion, the monopoly on all things important. You create a monopoly, and then you monopolize that discussion in Marshall McLuhan, Medium is the Message fashion, by creating this illusion of legitimacy in what is known as the mainstream news, which is anything but news, mainstream media, because, you know, the medium is the message. And what's a medium? We got all these scrying mirrors around us. So it's a monopoly on all things important. We can't even have a discussion. You know, there are some interesting stories. I'll kind of tell you what I mean when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. Yeah. So, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is, in this kind of monopoly of discussion, and it's interesting, you know, basically this establishment now is talking to itself, isn't it? Which is a point I tried to make the other day. You know, you have, and it's just this, you know, on the other side, you know, here we have a closed loop discussion that doesn't amount in any, or doesn't amount to any, meaningful change, I would say. I mean, not that it doesn't. This is, you know, there's some quarter here. Hopefully, if being American means anything, it means holding to that unique concept, you know, that guys like Jordan Peterson have identified that, as he put it when he was on Greg Gutfeld earlier this week, the concept that the individual is supraordinate to the state. That's the unique concept. Now we're going backwards toward a kind of a feudalist model with a synthesized feudalist model that is very deleterious to the average individual. There's a monopoly on all things, not just the discussion, but you think about it. There's already been a monopoly on production and capital, you know, in Marxist sort of terms, for a long time. Now labor is being monopolized, and that's not even, it's of diminishing value in a technocratic artificial intelligence sort of age. So there's one of the monopolies, but this monopoly on thought and ideas and voice, you start to think about it, this mainstream media discussion. Jefferson said, we must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. And so where are we at with all of this lavish spending these days? You can't talk about the Federal Reserve. Anyway, so I want to give you an example, and I admit it, it's offensive, but this to me is one of the best examples you can find of what happens when there becomes a monopoly. And, you know, that quote by Jefferson, to preserve our independence, you know, he said, I am not among those who fear the people. They and not the rich are our independence for continued freedom and to preserve their independence. You remember the preamble to the bill for the – his bill for the more general general diffusion of knowledge, bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, when he said governments are better calculated than – some are better calculated than others – to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights. You know, we live in a society now that's so upside down. I'll get to this story in a little bit, but you've seen it. You know, Zachary Cruz goes to court. He's held on $500,000 bail for something that's usually a $25 bond or bail. And, he didn't do anything violent. He didn't even say anything violent. He said that he went to the school to reflect, but he was told he couldn't go there. So he hadn't said anything. He wasn't profane. He didn't say anything that I'm aware of that was inappropriate. Hasn't been caught with any weapons. He skateboarded onto Stoneman Douglas High School to reflect. He was arrested, held against his will for days. Now he has 6 months probation, held on a $500,000 bail for a normally what would be a $25 bail. That seems excessive, doesn't it? Arbitrary. Meanwhile, you have David Hogg, who has expressed violent tendencies. He has been profane several times. He has insulted and offended many people, which is pretty obvious based on the outrage that he has sparked and provoked, which is not by accident. This color revolutionary, you know, violent, leading a color revolution. He even said revolution, but I don't think people really know what he's talking about. So that sounds backwards, doesn't it? This is a kid, and CNN, just, you know, the latest agitprop we'll talk about in a minute. But so here's a kid, you know, The contrast, you have Zachary Cruz, who hasn't done anything violent, hasn't said anything violent, hasn't, you know, expressed any reason for concern. He's just related. His crime is nepotism, I guess. Guilty by association. Meanwhile, David Hogg has been profane and insulting and provocative. So clearly there's a double standard there. Zachary Cruz, I would submit, is not being protected in the free exercise of his natural rights. Whereas David Hogg receives quarter that, you know, let's just say is unbalanced. How about that? So what happens when you monopolize a discussion? Well, one of the best, most offensive examples that I've seen recently, there's a clip on Fox News, the video, video.foxnews, titled National Security Expert. Now, that's funny. Anytime you see that, it sounds like climate science to me. National Security Expert. Oh, my gosh. National Security Expert. You know, why am I not a national security expert? Why are you not a national? Why aren't we all? What deems one a national security expert while another is not? I don't have I'm not a senior fellow at a, you know, I don't have a fancy white coat and a, you know, fancy name on my pocket. But does that mean I can't be a foreign policy expert? Is it beyond me without the white coat and the fancy letters? I don't think so. You know, we should throw off all of this propaganda, all of this programming. I'm not saying that he's not or anyone isn't. I'm just saying what makes him, you know, what deems him a foreign policy expert and not you or me or anyone else. And so we've gotten into this Milgram experiment psychopathy where, hey, he has, you know what? Someone gave him a fancy title. Who gave him a fancy title and why? Why don't we go back to the Reese Committee in the 50s and dig through the congressional testimony and root out all those socialist, communist, and un-American and anti-American agencies that were created in the first half of the 20th century that were subversive. That's a fact that they established in the Reese Committee hearings. Why have we forgotten about that? So anyway, in this entry, national security expert on fears Russia is going rogue. What does that mean? Rogue. What constitutes rogue? Russia is not following the script that has been provided by a certain clique of ne'er-do-wells. Is that what it means? I think that's what it means. If we could just sort of sift through that. But that's not as disingenuous as the guest, Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, which is an ambiguous, you know, what they call in advertising a spontaneous ambiguity, the Center for the National Interest, you know. It's like, you know, calling it New America. Wait a minute. What was wrong with the old America? So he says if Moscow continues to act aggressively, the Trump administration will be left with little choice but a policy of containment. But he says it much. There's so much sophistry. I was going to play this yesterday. He was on Tuesday of this week, Outnumbered with Harris Faulkner. I was going to play this. I'm going to try. It's a dizzying spin, and I admit it's offensive, but bear with me and give this a listen. If we're ready with that, go ahead, please.
The Trump administration is taking the right action here. Harry Kazianis is Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, and great to see you today. I want to start with this notion of where you think the White House, the Trump administration, is on all of this and why you're supporting.
Well, I just spoke to a very senior White House official, and what this person told me was actually quite striking. What they're worried about is that Russia could end up becoming what essentially would be is the North Korea of Europe. And I'm actually quoting from that person. What they're worried about is if Russia continues to use chemical weapons in very offensive sort of ways, just like Kim Jong-un did killing his half-brother with the way Bashar al-Assad used them in Syria, we're going to end up in a world where we're actually used to people using chemical weapons in these ways. And as we saw in Europe and in Great Britain, they can spread and not just kill one person, but end up hurting and killing a lot of people. So I think the White House took the right action here. The question is now how Russia will respond, and I think that's really what the world is waiting to see.
Well, you know, I know from watching you and listening to you that you say that the White House, though, had it right in the beginning trying to normalize better relations with Russia. How does this fit in with that?
Well, the challenge is we have two competing narratives here, and I think the White House is making the right decision to push back on the Russians. You know, when President Trump came into office and during the campaign, I supported the idea of having better ties with Moscow. I mean, just look at the world that we live in. We have problems with China, multiple different problems. We have a North Korean challenge where they're building nuclear weapons. We still have ISIS on the battlefield and trying to confront them. So it made sense to take Moscow off that geopolitical chessboard. That was a good idea. But if the Russians continue to act what is essentially as a rogue nation, whether it's putting pressure in the Baltics, Ukraine, Syria, and now this action, the Trump administration's really left with no other choice.
I want to know what retaliation looks like from Russia.
Well, we have to think asymmetrically here, because I don't buy the notion that the Russians are just going to expel some diplomats. They're pretty angry, and I think they have some tools to really make this work for them. We need to think about North Korea for a second. If the Russians got it in their head that they wanted to play a little interference in that part of the world, it'd be very simple for them. All they would have to do is send to Pyongyang a couple of very advanced air defense systems, one called the S-400 specifically. Mm-hmm. If the United States was thinking about launching some sort of military option someday, that would be very hard to do with those systems in place.
Wow, just hearing you say that, I mean, that's just touching on military just is really jarring. I want to go back to this notion, though, about where this current president is and where we really have not been with North Korea before, and that is more hawkish. Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois had this to say.
President Trump, I surely wish he'd say more against Russia, but his actions have been outstanding up to this point. He's been probably the most hawkish anti-Russian president we've seen in quite a long time.
You know, I've heard you describe Russia as going rogue. When you hear the representative, how are we answering back? Hawkish? Is that a one-on-one match?
I don't think we have to be hawkish. I think we have to be very calibrated. Some of the things the Trump administration has done is to say to Vladimir Putin, if you're going to push in very negative directions, for example, trying to destabilize Ukraine to make sure that Ukraine never becomes part of the EU or NATO, we're arming the Ukrainians now with things like anti-tank weapons. That's the right thing to do. That isn't highly escalatory. That is just matching some of the things that the Russians have done. But it's also to say to the Russians, if you're willing to normalize your behavior, if you want to act like a real country that wants to be part of the international community, we'll change tack. That's the right way to go.
You know, before I let you go, you talk about normalizing behavior. This president did something that the previous president talked about, drawing red lines. But this president sent Tomahawk missiles into Syria. And we kind of went at it a little bit with Russia there. I mean, it got entangled there. And now you're looking at a situation where they poison with nerve gas an ex-spy inside an allied country, and you see him have this response. How would you ever in a million years normalize that? What is Russia's end game in all of this, and what are we going to do?
Well, Harris, the challenge is this. We've been dealing with where Russia wants to be in its place in the world for hundreds of years now. I mean, you can open any Russian textbook, and there's always this question is Russia a European country? Will it join the EU? Mm-hmm. Back 10, 15 years ago, people were thinking maybe Russia would join NATO. So this has been a tension throughout history, and this is something the Russians are going to have to figure out. But if they continue with this behavior, the U.S. response is only one thing. It's called containment, and that's what brought down the Soviet Union.
Whew. All right. Harry Kazianis on the program today. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, where does one begin? I don't know if you're like me. It's so dizzying. Everything Harry Kazianis said, everything is just plain false. I mean, he's lying through his teeth. And I will be honest, the first time I saw it, first time I heard this, I literally, if I was next to him, I would have wanted to punch him in the face. Because it's just a string of bald-faced lies. I just spoke to a very senior White House official. Oh, you mean the president's foreign policy advisors? The CIA, you know, guys stovepiping intelligence, feeding it to you so that you can come out and talk to Harris Faulkner, who, you know, carrying water for the establishment here. I'll go through some of these point by point, but I mean, what do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, pretty much everything he said. You know, it's all patently false. So, unbelievable, you know? Anyway, so I guess I'll go through, you know, some of these. I mean, it's just interesting. So, spoke to a very senior White House official, really. Who is the name? What is the name of this person? Why the secrecy? You know, give us a name so that it lends credibility to what you're saying and the discussion. Russia, the North Korea of Europe. What does that mean? All that does is create a mind picture, and people don't know anything about North Korea and America. All they know is what they've been propagandized. Continues to use if Russia continues using chemical weapons in very offensive ways, and you notice that he's talking very fast, so that each lie that is layered upon the next, your brain is like, whoa, hold on, I didn't have a chance to process that lie that you just said, or that one. Very offensive to the conscious. So, the conscience. So I apologize for that. But, you know, if Russia continues using chemical weapons in very offensive ways, who's actually encouraging that? Who gets caught encouraging that decade after decade in recent history? Who said recently there's no evidence of these kinds of things? Well, in the case of Syria, anyway, he says like Assad did. Well, again, DefSec Mattis. What did Mad Dog Mattis say? There's no evidence of that. Yeah, we knew that. And you go back to remember the RT stories in 2012? We played one of those clips the other day. RT runs a story. Yeah, there's evidence that there might be a false flag chemical attack. And then something happened in 2013. And we heard, oh my goodness, you know, even the UN reports say that Assad gassed his own people, but no, they didn't, and that was debunked. And here we are a few years on after, you know, bomb first, ask questions later. It turns out, I mean, what country would get away with that? When an administration bombs in another country, what would happen if Russia did that here? Russia, you know, bombed Virginia. And then said, well, you know, we had intelligence that told us that, you know, terrorists from some other place that the Pentagon was gassing its own people. But, you know, it later turns out that the Russian Ministry of Defense says, well, you know, there was no evidence. What would happen? Can you imagine? But it's normal. It's fine for us. The psychopathy of these people. If Russia continues using chemical weapons in very offensive ways, like Assad did, exactly when, Harry Kazianis, exactly when anyone with any sense, again, suspension of disbelief would have you believe this nonsense? What person would gas their own people? That's a staggering accusation. Think about it. If Trump gassed his own people, what would happen? It defies logic. Well, they're defenseless. Well, wait a second. You might say they're defenseless over here, but over here you're saying they're clearly not defenseless. So which is it? Stop twisting your sound bites to suit your narrative. And your narratives are illogical. They don't fit together. Like he said, speaking of narratives, two competing narratives, that's one of the most honest, you know, insightful and provocative things he said. We have two competing narratives here. Yeah. The truth and what you're saying, those are the two competing narratives. You know, still, you know, we still have ISIS on the battlefield. Well, where did they come from, Harry Kazianis? What about that DIA memo that said it would be great if Al-Qaeda's JV, as Barack Obama put it, came to more power. They would be the enemy of our enemies. And thus maybe, you know, an ally. What do they call that? I forget what they call that. That's a thing, you know. Dear enemy or something like that. I forget what that's called. So how did that happen? You know, the 2012 memo that Judicial Watch got through FOIA request in 2015 and the other information, you know, that everyone was saying leading up to, oh yeah, again, who is instrumental in the lie hop, high hop, you know, let it happen, help it happen on purpose, operation, whatever happened, it happened on purpose, that brings these groups to power, always, time after time after time, rinse and repeat, at least since Operation Cyclone in the 70s. It's the same MO every time, same people involved. Speaking of that, a great book, you know, I mentioned a couple yesterday, another great book, Wayne Madsen and Washington's blog, and Wayne Madsen, the book published in 2016, Unmasking ISIS, The Shocking Truth. That's a good book. In fact, from the back cover, listen to this. ISIS, also known as ISIL or Daesh, started as rebels under the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Islamic State in Syria, or the Levant. Started as rebels under the U.S. occupation of Iraq. They grew by ravaging Libya and Syria. Their backers are Saudi Arabia and Turkey, and they fight as proxies for U.S. neocons and allies. The motives are oil, gas, and empire building. ISIS is a supercharged new brand of Al-Qaeda, which, like Gladio, was founded by the U.S. to fight Russia. Its so-called founders and boogeymen, Zarqawi and Baghdadi, were puppets invented by the CIA. ISIS is the latest offensive in a very long-term, yes, protracted Anglo-Zionist, quote, divide and conquer project to balkanize and subjugate the Middle East, Greater Israel, Greater Middle East, by fostering narrow sectarianism and infighting among its peoples. Britain installed the Saudi Wahhabi monarchy over 200 years ago, which is the main source of funding for Islamic extremism, including ISIS. Turkey's dictator Erdogan runs ISIS for NATO. Like the Saudis, he is Islamic fundamentalist and a long-term ally of Israel. I'll finish that and more when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.